Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online.
The weather is changing. Demands for justice, they take place in our homes, on our streets, in the courtroom, even in churches. What kind of justice are we looking for? And who is to carry out the justice we seek? It is one thing and easy to shout out slogans for justice, is another to give thought to what justice we are demanding. And we also know who else wants justice, and he will get it. What his justice looks like is our focus on the second Sunday of end time in our church year. To God be the glory as we focus in on his word of truth. Just a note again about the distribution of Holy Communion this morning. As noted, in the month of November, we would try to go back a little closer to what we had been doing before COVID. So on page 13 is the Cliff Notes version of what we'll be doing. And the weekly news was the longer version, if you read that. But just to give you a brief explanation now, so not to interrupt the service as we get to that point, an usher will meet you in the center. And so we're going to do the whole left side, the lectern side, first, in groups of approximately 10. If there's a family that doesn't want to be divided, so it might be 9, it might be 11, the usher in the center will ask you to come down the center. If you want a wafer, to grab it yourself, they are there, the gluten-free as well as the regular wafers. Otherwise, when you come to the rail, the communion assistant will give you a wafer and have your hand open to receive it. If you did pick up a wafer, keep it visible so that the communion assistant knows not to give you another wafer. And there also are gluten-free wafers in the paten if you, again, want to help yourself to those gluten-free wafers in the paten. And so as you come up the center, the first person will go then to the left. So the first person up will be the first person out, and then the rest will fill in on the communion rail. And you may kneel or stay standing, whatever your preference may be at that point in time. And then once the lectern side is done, from the front to the back, we'll do the pulpit side. The usher again will have you exit the row from the center aisle. You will come up again, help yourself if necessary, and then you will go to the right. So first person in will also then be the first person out. And you're getting back to your pew on the outer aisle. So you're coming in down the center, and you're going back on the outer aisle to your pew. This hopefully eliminates less walking, especially on this side. You don't have to go through the lobby anymore at this point in time. And also then coming down the center hopefully makes it easier to complete that circle. And then also only the need for one table of wafers for those who would prefer to receive the wafer themselves. But again, just make sure you keep it visible for the communion assistants. And then I will come by with the tray of wine and again help yourself to that individual cup. And then on your way out, you see there are two baskets on each side. So again, those are for the cups. Please don't put them on the rails. We're trying to eliminate the person who has to touch those cups. Just again, there are still people who are very sensitive, so we're trying to find that proper balance of sensitivity. To God be the glory. I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of the bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we know God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you.
On the second Sunday of Endtime, with an emphasis on the last judgment, a reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Ezekiel, the 9th chapter.
A reminder that justice does get carried out all around us. And while on this side of heaven, Christians will have to face some of the same consequences that those who don't believe, and yet Christians take heart. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, "Bring near those who are appointed to execute judgment on the city, each with a weapon in his hand." And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of the temple. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. As I listened, he said to the others, Follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter the old men, the young men and women, the mothers and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the old men who were in front of the temple. Then he said to them, Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go. So they went out and began killing throughout the city. While they were killing and I was left alone, I fell face down, crying out, Alas, sovereign Lord, are you going to destroy the entire remnant of Israel in this outpouring of your wrath on Jerusalem? He answered me, The sin of the people of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. The land is full of bloodshed and the city is full of injustice. They say the Lord has forsaken the land. The Lord does not see. So I will not look on them with pity or spare them, but I will bring down on their own heads what they have done. Then the man in linen with the writing kit at his side brought back word saying, I have done as you commanded. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in the song, Psalm 51a.
Thank you.
God indeed is a just God. He is open about what is going to happen to those who reject Him and openly disobey Him. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, reminding us that God will hold us all accountable, especially in how we use His gifts, whatever that gift may be. Our Lord says, while they were listening to this, He went on to tell them a parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day.
Grace, mercy, and peace, may it be yours in great abundance. And this is possible thanks to God our Father and through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Holy Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words from the prophet Ezekiel. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. As I listened, he said to the others, Follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is justice the same as revenge? That is, if we are seeking justice, are we really seeking revenge? Or are we seeking accountability for one's actions? What does society look like if we do not have justice? It's pretty chaotic, isn't it? Sadly and tragically, on this side of heaven, justice is subject to being ignored or denied or manipulated. But when it comes to God, justice is consistent. We can count on the fact that His justice is not carried out in a vengeful manner, nor does His justice come without warning. We are reminded of God's justice, what it can look like, as it was carried out on the Old Testament children of Israel, specifically as we hear this account through the prophet Ezekiel. And what happened to them still has great application for us today. Even though the details may be different to one degree or another, but the premise is the same. So as we get into these words recorded down by the prophet Ezekiel from God Almighty, let us give thanks to God for His justice. For God's justice, it is deserved. At the same time, as we give thanks to God for His justice, let us also keep in mind that His justice, it is merciful. God's justice is deserved, is it not? Whether that be in society or whether it be even in the visible church, God's justice is deserved. I mean, you think about what was going on in Old Testament Israel. God had sent prophet after prophet to warn His people about the adultery, the spiritual adultery that was taking place among them. I mean, He had given them a set of rules and standards to follow to help them be set apart from their heathen neighbors and to rather be the lights in the world. The people were to flock to them and follow their example. But what happened way too often is that the children of Israel ended up following the world's example and becoming like the world. And while we're in the world, we are not to be of the world. That has not changed then or still today. And so the spiritual adultery needed to be rooted out. And so God sent His prophets time and time again. The 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, had been taken away. That should have been a huge wake-up call for the southern tribe, consisting mainly of Judah, the southern kingdom. But we know from our study of the Bible that the southern kingdom did not take heed of that wake-up call of losing their brothers and sisters. And not just that, but again, sending prophet after prophet to them. And so God carried out His justice to them. They were transported to Babylon, away from their homeland. Ezekiel gives us, by God's inspiration, a very visual of God's judgment on his people. And in particular, the temple that was set up to worship God. You know, sacrifices were to be offered in a particular way by the priests in atonement for sin as an opportunity to give praise to God, to recognize him as the one and only God that they were to worship. But what happened too often? The priests got lazy. The priests did not represent God faithfully. The people were not offering God their best, but second best, if that. Instead of God's temple being honored, it was being desecrated. And we see then that God carries out his judgment as that Holy of Holies, with the Ark of the Covenant, was a special place signifying God's presence among the people. And what happened? God moved his presence from that Holy of Holies and at the threshold, leaving the temple, in a sense, no longer with his people. Well, why? What have we done? You forsook the true God for false gods. You offered lazy sacrifices, if any sacrifices at all. You committed adultery not only with your God, but also in your homes and in your communities. You commingled in the wrong way with your heathen neighbors. And they expected God not to carry out justice. God was very clear what was going to happen if they continued down this path, and it happened. But thankfully, God is merciful and he spared a remnant to keep the line of the Savior alive, who would come back one day to that earthly homeland. But many lost their lives, not just physically, but eternally. It seems harsh, doesn't it, when we hear these words of Ezekiel? But that's the point. Because what's on the line? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where does God want the people of this world that he has created to spend eternity? He wants people, all people, to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. His truth that has not changed and will not change until the end of time. And so what does God expect of his church today? What he expected of the Israelites then? To hold on to his truth, to be beacons of that truth, to honor that truth, to honor their God. And yet what happens too often today in churches across the land and across the world? Spiritual adultery. How many leaders in the church stand in the pulpits and proclaim more than one way to God? How many people within the church or leaders of the church proclaim lifestyles that are acceptable to mankind but not to God? God's word of truth is very clear on what is and what is not tolerated. And yet think of how the church has been desecrated with spiritual idolatry and lifestyles that are not acceptable to God. But we use the covering that God is love, but we forget that God is just. It's not by accident that the church is in the state that it is. It's not by accident that the community, the country, the world is in the state that it is. It's all part of God's righteous judgment. Wake-up calls before people and before the world see the end. because God wants to see you and all people with Him forever in heaven. And so we can't stand by and do nothing. And so we have to look at our own hearts. What are we in our own hearts doing that is guilty of spiritual idolatry? What in our own hearts is guilty of ignoring God's word when it's convenient for us to do so, but then standing righteously on God's word, making laws where it does not make laws? And so the words of Jesus are so true. The church has a form of godliness, but it's empty of its power, just going through the motions. And so what does God say? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I don't want just to go through the motions. I want your heart, the first commandment, to be followed and obeyed. No other gods, for there is no other way to heaven. There is no other God that has created the heavens and the earth. And there's a way to show honor to Him, not by giving of our second best, but giving Him of our best. Not squandering the talents and time that He has given to us, but putting it to use. Not making excuses for ourselves or for others when we go against God's word, but fessing up, Lord, I have sinned, I am sorry, forgive me, have mercy on me, a sinner. Don't give me what I truly deserve, even though I do deserve it. Have mercy. And He does. Because God is just. He has mercy on us, not because of who we are or our repentant state, but because of who He is and what He has done for us. Out of His mercy and His grace, giving us what we don't deserve, His one and only Son, who went to the cross with each and every one of our sins and said, it is finished, those sins are paid for, not to be held against you. Unlike us at times who like to continually hold sin against people. We like those words, always and never. You always do that. I know I forgave that sin, but you always do that, or you never do that. Talk about a way of ruining relationships. But again, thankfully, God is merciful. And even though we don't carry out forgiveness as we ought, He does. He's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. His mercy, His grace, rooted in Jesus. And so we can rightly say with Prophet Jeremiah, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And we can say with the Apostle John, as he was able to record, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is clear again that God wants people to be with Him for all eternity, and He's made it possible to have just that. So let's learn the lesson, the hard lesson the children of Israel had to go through. Let us learn not by having to go through another hard lesson as they had to, but let us learn what they should have learned. To stay repentant before the Lord. To seek His justice. To glorify His name here in the church, and in our homes, and in the community, to be the salt and light that He has called us to be. Life on this side of heaven, it may not always seem fair, especially as we have to endure consequences for something that we maybe did not do, and yet take heart. God is aware, and He does carry out perfect justice. Your sins still remain forgiven, and heaven still remains your eternal home, sealed by the Holy Spirit, the one who works in us and keeps in us that saving faith rooted in our Savior Jesus Christ. Give thanks then for God's justice, that it is that it is deserved, that he doesn't change what he expects, and also give thanks for his judgment, which is merciful, which doesn't give us what we deserve, but gives us what we don't deserve. And then take that attitude of thanksgiving and God's justice to the world, so that they, through the work of the Holy Spirit with us, can give thanks to God for his perfect justice. Now, while they have the time to do just that, because a time is coming when it'll be too late. But for now, it's not too late. Thank God for his justice. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith for us on page 10. A portion of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. For our thank offering
this morning, we sing a song of thanks that God allows us to return a portion of the gifts that he gives to us in the first place to use to his glory. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that He is our advocate before Your throne, and that He intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve Your holy church a full measure of Your grace, that Christ may be confessed, His cross uplifted, and His gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children. Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that Your love endures, Your power overcomes, and Your presence remains constant. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see Your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couple celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of Your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring You our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
We also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He gave it thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. The peace of the Lord be with you all. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord. That the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world. That the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again. And that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Much to give thanks for, God's mercy and his grace, and also to give thanks for one another that God has brought you together to grow as a family, to grow in his grace, and to encourage one another in that God's grace. I'm thankful for you, and I pray that God's mercy continues to be shown to all of us each and every day. Bible studies, we're looking at the Augsburg Confession, begins about 9:30 here in the church proper. Bible Hour for Kids will begin in the chapel at 9:15. So that starts with some singing. Everyone's welcome to join in that singing, and then you can come back here for the Bible study. Jesus Cares will be meeting today at 2 o'clock. We'll be meeting in the chapel today. We'll meet because we have the vote center taking place in the multipurpose center, and we are not able to use that through the next couple of days. Next week, in honor of Veterans Day, we'll have an ammo can out there again for the free will offering to support our Lutheran Military Support Group, which supports our chaplain to the military and all other programs to encourage our military. A couple times a year, we like to do that. So thank you for your generosity in advance. Next Two weeks from today, on the 20th, we'll be having a congregational meeting. Primary focus of the congregational meeting after the late service will be to talk about the expansion project there from the Rose Garden, how we expand that in the area. You know, we had to remove the trees, the roots were coming towards the building, and so now what do we do to replace that? We've been working for the last year or so on a plan. The committee wants to share that with you, the congregation, to get your input on that plan. That's coming up on the 20th. King's tickets, if you are interested in that Connect outing as a congregation, we still have some tickets left. Let me know if you're interested in getting a discount on those tickets. Nativity, the live nativity that we're doing, it's a walkthrough this year, coming up in December, but we need to get planning for it now. We have 12 of the 23 positions filled so far. We need three more Josephs. So if you want to be a Joseph, talk to Mark LeMay or myself. We need one more Mary, right? Two angels. Got to have two angels out there yet. Come on. Right? And five more animals played by children, preferably. Keep that in mind. If you volunteered already for that, thank you. And again, rather be the front of the animal than the back. No, we're not going. Okay. Thanksgiving worship. Again, just keeping in mind as we turn in November and stuff is coming up. We'll be on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Just keep those things in mind. There's other dates coming up for December in the weekly news. Just want to get you a heads up on some of those things, especially as Christmas Day is on a Sunday this year. And see the weekly news for the things that are going on. One more piece of news. Chuck Klinker will share that with you.
Good morning. As I think most of you know, I serve as the chair of the Board of Stewardship here at St. Mark's. And it's been 7 months since we last visited, a bit longer than usual. But as to stewardship, things have been clicking along pretty well. You notice continued improvement in the look of our buildings and grounds thanks to a core group of very dedicated volunteers, and we could always use more. Planned projects like redoing the area between the church and administration building, the one just mentioned, painting the school buildings, and redoing the restrooms are in the works. It's almost 5 years to the day since I first addressed you as chair of the Board of Stewardship. During those years, we have had our ups and downs, projects completed, projects delayed, and the occasional need to call for volunteers for special projects. And oh yes, 2.5 of those years were under the specter of COVID. So I looked over the messages I've delivered you over these last 5 years and was moved by how evident the Lord's provision has been during that time. We have had deficits come and go, earlier ones as high as $50,000. These were mitigated by your generous offerings, giving over and above when the call came. Volunteers were always there to meet special or unanticipated needs. The Lord carried us through the challenges of COVID, even while some churches and schools had to close their doors. Another thing struck me. Things have steadied out. The swings in our finances have become smaller and smaller. While we had to overcome a $50,000 deficit 5 years ago, the deficits tended to be less and less as the years passed. At this point, after finishing ahead of projections last year, this fiscal year we find ourselves running about $15,000 behind our plan for offerings since July 1. That's not out of line considering the current state of the economy, which also may explain why our Not Without Purpose 2 offerings are lagging a bit. But we're confident that in spite of the current challenges we're all facing with inflation and economic uncertainty, the Lord will move us to give generously to help us get caught up. And if our economy does hold some of us back for a while, we are thankful that the Lord allowed us to build up reserve funds for lean times such as these that will help carry us through. I'll close by referencing Pastor Kohlander's message in the weekly newsletter a few weeks back. We don't just practice giving, we practice Christian giving. Christian giving involves our faith in the promises of God. For example, see 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. In our prayers, we give thanks for the generosity he provides to our church through all of us. Generosity also in the form of time volunteered. When times were not so lean, we were able to build up a reserve fund for emergency expenses, as well as for the lean times, and now we are in those times. As you pray about your own circumstances, the rising costs of nearly everything having an impact, continue to pray that God would help us as a church at least be able to maintain the ministry we have in place while not neglecting areas and projects, neglect which could detract from or hinder our ministry and mission. Yes, the Lord's steady provision is so very evident as we consider the 50-year history of St. Mark's, made even more evident by looking back at the last five. Thank you for your attention and continued service to him at St. Mark's. And remember that call for volunteers for Joseph's, a Mary, some angels, and some animals. I'm sure those characters are among all of us right here, right now. So God bless your day.